John chapter number 10. And, we have had a great week at camp, and I know a lot of folks were just exhausted. Amen. I appreciate everybody that helped there, everybody that helped with the concession stand before camp, after camp, folks that provided things for camp. I know folks that couldn't be out there, things, key things that we had for the pool and different areas, water, just those things were supplies by God's people and took care of things. And thank you for those that put hands to the work and cleaned it up. And just thank you, thank you, thank you. I think on the backside, you know, it would have been worth it all if just one got saved. But I thank God for those that did receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Today, I'd like to preach a message to you entitled The Door to Eternity. The Door to Eternity. You know, every one of us and realize that I think most people within themselves realize there's something that comes after this life. But the Bible defines eternity with the Lord and what we call heaven as eternal life, you know. But everybody's going to face eternity. Everybody's going to face it. And really, it's what you do with the door that matters. John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus is going to plainly say that he is the door. And we'll read the scripture this morning, but I just want to make sure that if you've never used the door, then you better question where you're going to spend eternity. Because there's only one way. Amen. In the same book, and just a few chapters later, Jesus names himself as the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He made the door exclusive. You know, we live in a day of many doors. Folks that say there's you can go your own way. That there's all kinds of different ways to get to. And again, most of the time, they don't use the name of Jesus. They say to get to God or heaven. They'll use a multiple terms that sounds like they know what they're talking about. But the problem is, Jesus, he made it very exclusive. Not just because he doesn't want folks to be saved, but because there was only one that could ever open the door. This morning, I just want to kind of give you something that I heard and, again, that affected me and then did a study on this. And, boy, I tell you, I don't have time to give you everything. And some of what I'm going to give you this morning from what God put on my heart will just kind of, I'm just going to kind of shoot out there and say something about it. But I encourage you, you know, this is a great book. And we can't preach it all out in 30 minutes or 40 minutes. Or 50, whatever time we get done, you know. But, I mean, whatever time we preach, you can't preach it out. We can't pick it clean. We just got to get to the place where we, after we hear something from God's Word, that we go and study it out for ourselves. Well, we go dig into it and we find, you know, and see what God has for us. This morning, again, I want to preach the message. We'll be in John chapter number 10, but I want to pray before we begin this morning. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for your people. And Lord, being in this place, and Lord, I know without a doubt there are some here that probably, Lord, have never walked through the door that leads to eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray today that from the scripture and from your word, from the message that you've laid upon my heart, Lord, that you'd help me deliver that I'd just be your messenger boy, and they would hear clearly that they could know the way of salvation that is through the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work of Calvary. Lord, I pray that they would accept that gift that you've made of your Son. And God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for those that know that Jesus is the way. Lord, help us to look up and to realize that he's on his way back and that we need to be about our Father's business. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 10, let me say this. I want to just bind some things. I want to get you in the sound room, if you would, that black microphone on the end. If you could have that hot for me for when I get there to it, I'll do a just want to make an illustration this morning, and I don't want to lose my religion in between here and there. And so, all right. So, John chapter 10, and we'll begin to read in verse number 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. I want you to see in verse number 6, it says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. I want to just say before we read on that Jesus is speaking to his disciples, to much of what was called his church. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He wasn't pointing at Peter, he was pointing to himself. Upon this rock, not upon the pebble that Peter was, but upon himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was going to be the door, who would make a way, and then he would be the shepherd of his flock, of his church. And then he says that, listen, there's a lot of people that have come before me, but they weren't the shepherd. And they sure weren't the good shepherd. But he said that my sheep, his church. Folks, I just want you to, I want to cue you on into a few things for those of you that may have missed it. There's a lot of people that think that there's some kind of universal flock. Not all the sheep belong to the shepherd. Who we're talking about, the good shepherd. There's a lot of people that follow a lot of men. They follow a lot of churches. And listen, the church isn't the one that they're following. The sheep are the church. The flock is the church, and they follow their leader, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. But not everything that calls itself as a church is a church. Not everything that names the name of Christ is naming the same Christ that is the good shepherd of the flock. Amen and amen. I'm just trying to tell you this morning that we've got to come to the realization that we have to understand that God himself sent his son to die on Calvary, and that same son that died rose again. He built a church and he laid a foundation of doctrine, and in those churches, so called, and groups and flocks that do not follow the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ found in his word are not sheep of the Lord Jesus's flock. They're a different flock and they don't hear his voice. You say, how is it that you can come and say that? Because they don't even have his word. They follow a different book. They wrote an extra book. They rewrote the book so that they didn't have to follow his words. They could put their own words and follow those. They're not sheep of his flock. It's easy enough to mark them down when they got a different book. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about those that would rather read the Watchtower than the Bible. Those that would rather write a brand new world translation. Amen. They're real good and they're friendly, but they'll lead you astray. And that flock ain't the same flock that Jesus started. It's a perversion. It's a deceptive thing. You say, preacher, you're calling people by name. Listen, I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't tell you what was false when I told you what was truth. There's a flock, and that flock follows the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The doctrines that he laid forth when he started his church, and when he comes back for his church, he expects it to be acting and professing and practicing the same things that he laid forth before he left us. Amen. Now I'll read on. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You know, it's just like Jesus to say something in a parable and them not to understand, but then get plain with them. You know, I found that there were some times in my life that I needed people just to get plain with me. Don't beat around the bush. Just tell me like it is. You know, there are a lot of people that are heaping teachers because they have itching ears. They don't want to hear it straight. They don't want to have a changed life. They don't want to be a new creature. They just want religion that makes them feel good. And when it's a feel-good religion, it's probably of the flesh. And God will not be worshiped in the flesh. He requires worship to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. And you can tell when you're in a false place and it's ministering to your flesh and it's a feel-good religion and it has nothing to do with spirit or truth. Everything is appealing to your flesh. He goes on, he says, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Look on what he says. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have. Listen, he's talking about us. I just got chill bumps right then. I almost made a lap around the pulpit, but I realized there was nothing in front of it right there. And I knock over them flowers. Amen. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And they, look, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I just want you to understand that Jesus made it plain that he is the door. He said, if you come through my door, you'll be saved. It doesn't get more plain than that. How about the excitement about the fact that he just says, listen, yes, there are different folds, but one day I'm coming back and I'm going to gather every fold into one fold, and I'll be their shepherd. I'm the shepherd of every flock. Listen, there's a lot of confusion in the day and age that we live, that there's some kind of universal church, and if you're saved, you're a part of the church. Folks, that's not how it works. Every church ain't the same church, but even the right ones. You know, there's a church that I grew up in that's in Salisbury, Maryland, and it is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in that place. It is a doctrinally sound church, but it ain't the same as Landmark Baptist Church. It ain't the same body. The reason it ain't the same body is because there's 1,000 miles between us. It doesn't have the under-shepherd, the same shepherd. It doesn't have the same pastor, but it has the same good shepherd. And the same good shepherd's going to come down, and when he calls them up, you know what? When we're transported, what makes it a universal church is because it's spread out down here, isn't it? But when we're called up together, we're all going through the same door. Amen? And he'll make one fold out of all those folds. You say, well, how is that going to happen? Because his sheep hear his voice. And when he calls, come home. When he calls, come forth. You say, preacher, you're getting excited. I am. I'm getting ahead of myself this morning. I want you to know some things. There's some differences. You know, words are important. Jesus names himself the door. I want to read the 1828 dictionary definition of a door. The frame of boards. I like that. Boy, just plain, right? Or any pieces of board or plank that shuts the opening of a house or closes the entrance into an apartment or home or enclosure, and usually turning on hinges. Now, this is the definition of a doorway. And the reason I read this definition is because there are two things that happen in the lives of most people that are religious people. That when Jesus says he's the door, we think that he's a doorway, that it's wide open, that anybody can just walk through it while the time period is open. You do realize it's a gift, all right? All the work of salvation has been done. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to get baptized for it, but Jesus is still the door. You can't come by doing good works and try to get in and think that the doorway's open and I can come how I want to. Do you know that? Why don't you do this with me? While I'm trying to explain to you, you turn to Genesis chapter 4 while I read the definition of doorway. The definition of a doorway is the opening or passage that a door closes. It's this: a means of reaching or gaining something. So a doorway is an opening, and the door is what hangs over the doorway, hangs on hinges and open and closes. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I better get where you're at so I can read you the verse. The very first mention in the Word of God of the word door is found in Genesis chapter 4. Two men had made an offering that was commanded by God. One gave an offering that the way God told him to give it. He had killed a lamb that pictured the lamb that's slain before the foundation of the world. And another man grew fruit, and he brought the watermelons and tomatoes and everything else, and things that looked red when they cut them. But it wasn't blood. There was no life in those things that he was cutting and doing. And it did not picture the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "If thou," look, go back in verse 6, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall his desire be, and thou shalt rule over him." You say, what's that ending part? He's talking about Abel, his little brother. If you do right, your little brother will have that right relationship. He'll have respect for you. He'll look up to you. He'll do all those things. But listen, he says, where does sin lie? It lies at the door. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm just saying, you can't work your way there. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't do anything. You have to come to the one that can forgive sins. You have to come to the one that has paid for sin. You have to call out to the right person. Do you know there's a lot of times when we come to this place, and I'm going to grab this microphone over here. You know, a lot of times when we're looking into doors, and I'm going to use this door up here because it's on the platform. Hopefully everybody can see it. Do you know this door opens on hinges, closes? This is an opening. It's very clear, and I want everybody to understand that the picture of the Old Testament here, there's a doorway. There's a way. You have to come through the truth to receive the life that comes through this door. Do you know that the second passage that uses the word door is found in the book of Genesis, and it's the door of the ark? And the ark is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the door was open. It was preached, but people had to come to that door and come through it. But there was a time when the door got shut. That door was, it wasn't just an opening where anybody could come and all. Otherwise, that sin would pass through there. You see this door? Guess what has to happen before you can walk through the door of eternal life? Your sins have to be forgiven. You have to come to a place. And you say, why are you saying that, preacher? Because I believe we live in a day and age of salvation without repentance. Repentance is not works, but repentance is turning unto Jesus. We think we can just come any way we want to, anyhow. And God, listen, we have to come, I believe this, with a humble realizing that you're a sinner. I was raised in a place when you come to Jesus Christ knowing you're a sinner, you ought to be sorry for your sin. Realizing it's that sin that nailed him to the cross. And then call upon his name and ask him for the gift of salvation. That's so simple, right? But you know, even in this picture, you know, it got a little farther into the book of Exodus, and Jesus wanted a picture that he was going to open a doorway, because you see, realize there was no way to heaven for man. You couldn't work your way there. Nothing had been opened. There was a way predicted. There was a covering of lambs slain, but then they wanted to picture the door. And so the Passover lamb was slain. And they took out the thing, and the architect of salvation had told, God told Moses, he said, paint the door frame. Do you know this door frame? We call it a door frame because it frames in the hole. It shows you that there's a hole there. You say, this is just simple, preacher. Yeah. Well, if God made it hard, would you know how to do it? If God made it difficult, how would you get? How about this? We realize that the door is that on the hinges, and we realize that not only that God is the door and that he said that sin would lie at the door if you don't come the right way. You say, well, what is the right way? Well, think about this. Jesus is the door. Do you know that this is one of the things that that gets me about people of our age? The first mention of the door tells us that you can't come up with your own way. Do you know Cain had a feel-good way? This is how I feel good about it, God. I think I'll come to you. I'm going to make an offering of what's precious to me. Do you know that ages of people have done that? Do you know what people think? We live in an age of people that people sacrifice all kinds of things. Time is precious to people, but you can't sacrifice time and earn salvation. Money. People come to church and they think because they put something in the plate that that's going to get them to heaven. Listen, money can't get you there. You can't buy your way into heaven. Some people think that time and work, go on beyond that. It's religious. The church can get you there. Let me tell you, the church didn't open the door. The church has to come through the door. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Do you know that there's a bunch of people out there that think the church is the one that can tell you whether you go or you don't go? The church don't have any authority to tell you. That's Jesus, the head of the church, the good shepherd, the door, the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, there's nobody that's going to say because you're a member of the church. Listen, member of the church, that's okay, we're going to vote you in. A raising of hands can't get you in. Getting dunked underwater can't get you in. It's only accepting the finished work of Jesus Christ. You say you're being so plain today. I hope that everybody's getting it. I hope that everybody's understanding that the door is Jesus Christ and you have to come his way. They pictured it by painting the opening. For us, many of us, we want to understand. You say, well, what other doors are in this scripture? Listen, for time's sake, let me just say this. There was a big door. If you read the New Testament in three different books, it calls the opening of the tomb a door. And the stone was rolled back from the door. You say, was it opening? No, it was just proven that the way had been paid for. They were rolling back the stone and they said, the door isn't here anymore. The door rose up. He came up with power. He had power to lay his life down and he had power to take it up again. The door's not here. The door's not dead. The door's still alive and he can open to anybody that'll call upon his name. We miss some things when we would do simple word studies. It's not an open door that anybody can come how they want. They gotta come by Jesus Christ. The door's risen from the dead. He's the good shepherd. Once you come through the door, you're a part of the sheepfold. What I love about it says you can pass in and out of that sheepfold and he'll take you out and find pasture. Let me tell you about some things that I love, that he's not a false door. No false door just wants to deceive. The Bible says he used that term to steal and to kill. You know, the desire of our shepherd is to take care of us, to lead us to green pastures, to take us to cool and calm waters. You say, well, why do I have such tribulation? Because of sin. This old flesh isn't redeemed yet. Most of us, if we had the most complaints we got today, was some of us took care of it with ibuprofen or Tylenol or all them other 50 pills in your purse for whatever you take. For what your problems are, most of your problems are all dealing with the flesh. And the flesh will wear down and hurt your spirit because it'll get you. But listen, when you got aches and pains, you ought to get excited. I'm headed for home. I know the door. I've gone through the door. One day the door is going to open, and hopefully it's before this old body is laid in the ground. But once I'm laid in the ground, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. Listen, I don't know about you. I'm not looking to die. I'm looking for Jesus to come back. But even if I did, I'm not scared of it because I have already entered in through the door. I realize I shed this old body. Ain't nothing but good going to happen to me. No more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrow. I'll be face to face with the door. He said, "Preacher, you're getting off excited about the door. Listen, I hope you know him today, because if you know the door, you ought to get excited. You ought to be trying to show other people the door." You say, "How simple?" It's so simple. Yeah, well, why don't we do it? It's so simple to explain, but why don't we show people the door? I think sometimes we, listen, I want to show you two more passages of scripture and then head for home. Listen, as a brand new, born again Christian, you can understand this. And as someone who's been saved for 100 years, Jesus says in the book of Revelation, I want to show you one of the things he says to the church about the door after you walk through. And then I want to show you the last passage of scripture that uses the word door before we head for home. Revelation chapter number 3. Jesus is speaking to the churches as he is giving his revelation there. In Revelation 3, I want you to see this. Many of you have heard this. Many people use this for salvation, and it's not necessarily wrong. But I want you to see, this is written for the Laodicean church age. Now, I do not believe that the Landmark Baptist Church is a Laodicean church. I believe all 7 of these churches that are in the book of Revelation are different church ages. So we are currently in the Laodicean church age, which is a lukewarm, sickening to God's stomach age of Christians not really being sold out or zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Philadelphian church age is theirs too. And the Bible says that to the Philadelphian church that there's a door open that no man can shut. That as long as we stay as the right kind of church, there's a door open to us that no man can shut to work the works of God in this age. And listen, I just want you to tell you, I believe we're that kind of church. As long as we keep witnessing about the door. Do you know he goes on to say in this chapter, he says in verse 19. I was going to read just verse 20, but verse 19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke." Boy, if you're here this morning and you know the door, you ought to take this to heart, because he says, "If I love you, I'll rebuke you. And chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." You see, this is not a salvation verse. This is the Lord Jesus talking to save people. Once you've come through the door, the shepherd will knock on your door. When you're ignoring him, this is a church, and Jesus is saying, "My fold has blocked me outside. And I'm knocking on the door. Why don't you let me in? Why don't you let me come into my fold? Why don't you let me lead you like you used to? Why don't you let me feed you like I used to? Why don't you let me to take you to calm waters like I used to?" We live in a Laodicean church age of churches that have locked the door, Jesus Christ, outside of their church. They don't care about his way. They don't care about his truth. They don't care about his life. And they put him outside because all they want to progress and tell other people is not the door. They want to tell everybody to feel good and go home. They want you to come as you are and leave as you came. They don't want any change to happen in their church. They're worried more about the offering than they are the preaching. They're worried about more about entertainment than they are eternal life. Folks, I just want you to see in chapter 4, after the Laodicean, he gets to the end of the chapter. In chapter 4, we see the last mention of a door in the Bible. This text verse, as Pastor Carter has taught through the book of Revelation and so many other men, in a right premillennial view of the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-tribulation view, the right pre-tribulation view, he says in verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the voice, the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." I want you to know that there's going to come a day, and that day is the rapture of the Lord Jesus' church. And the door will open the door of heaven for all those that have walked through the door of salvation. You say, "Preacher, I get it. I mean, I know about it." Well, have you told somebody recently about the door? Amen. If you're inside the church and you've heard preaching about Jesus, but you've mixed him with works, and Jesus, that don't work. It's Jesus plus nothing. You've been trusting in baptism to save you. It's never going to be baptism. That comes after you've gone through the door. Listen, there's all kinds of things. Maybe you were trusting the church, and some church told you that you were saved. The church, listen, I'm here to tell you, you need to know for a Bible reason that you've accepted Jesus Christ, the door for salvation. The church doesn't have the authority, okay, to give you heaven. No church does. The head of the church, the door, is the way, the truth, and the life. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me tell you like this. I got thinking about... He's jumping. I see him. I went to my grandparents' house, probably when I was just starting to drive, and my grandparents were always home. But this day, they weren't. I think they got up late. They were both retired, and they had gone to brunch instead of breakfast or lunch. And I came in, and you know, like any good grandson, I was looking forward to brunch cooked by grandma. And I had time to go by. But you know, I got to the door, and every other time I'd just knock and go in because grandma and grandpa's house was never locked. But I got to the door, and the door was locked. And I couldn't go in. I couldn't go in and sit down and wait on them. And I stood at the door for a while. I realized they weren't home. I just want to tell everybody that's wondering, why didn't you just call them? Because the phone was inside the house. And there was a cord. Okay? There wasn't a phone to flip out of my pocket or call somebody. So I stood there, and I knew my grandfather in the house, and it was an old lock. And I thought, you know, it was a deadbolt, so I knew I wasn't getting in. I went around to the back door, and I tried to use my pocket knife to do the country boy pick and flick the lock, and I couldn't get in. So I went back to the front door, and I stood there, and I stood at the door, and I couldn't get in. I didn't know where the key was, because grandma and grandpa's house had never been locked before. I never really understood. I didn't understand the way to get in. So I'm standing there at the door, and my grandfather had a good friend that lived next door to him. He came home for lunch. And he walked up, and he said, "Son, if you'll just kneel down there at that door." I'm not kidding you. He said, "If you just kneel down at that door," he said, "flip that mat back." And I flipped the mat back, and there was the key to the door. I had been there for a half an hour trying to find how to get in that door. But you know, most of the time what each one of us need, I knew that that was the way to get into the house. I just didn't know the key that it took to open the door. And you know, if every one of us, most of us, if we would just come, we know the door is Jesus Christ. And sometimes there's so many folks that'll tell us what they think about how you can pick the lock or how you can go round about it and who he says, but the Bible makes it very clear. That the key to salvation is free. It's a free gift. And that all you have to do is call out to the person who paid the price of, I mean, on Calvary for your sin. And that person is Jesus Christ. That if you'll simply humble yourself. You know, I thought about that day when I was thinking about this and reading this story. I thought about that, you know, how if I had just checked the most obvious place. See, I wanted to do all the hard things. I had already walked the house and tried to win this. I had done all the things that I could do. I tried all the works. But if I had just humbled myself at the door, I'd have found the key. The most obvious place. Now, don't try going and getting my grandparents' house. The key ain't there no more. Hey, but you know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The key is always the same. If you're willing to humble yourself and ask Jesus for the free gift of salvation that he has already paid for you on Calvary, he'll give it to you. He will open the door of salvation to you, and you can walk in and be a sheep of his fold. You can be a part of what eternal life really means. And listen, I just want to tell everybody that's here, you don't start living that someday. You start living that immediately when you get saved. And for those of us that have been saved a while, has God been knocking on your heart's door? Saying, "I'd really like to come back in. I'd really like to spend time with you. I'd like to lead you like I used to. One of the greatest things in all the world is to realize that we have a leader in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And many times when we get off track as Christians, we forget that He is the way, not only to heaven, but to the way to lead this life and live this life. And if we'll follow His word and His way, this life would be the best life we could ever live. But sometimes we try it our way. And we block Him outside, and we find Him every so often at maybe a message, maybe a devotional. Maybe sometimes when we sit and read the Word of God, we hear Him knocking again at our heart's door. Why don't you let me come in and live again and love you again the way I want to? You say, "Preacher, I'd like to do that." You can do that this morning. As a church member, you can, at the invitation, you can step out and come down the aisle and say, "God, I'm opening the door of my heart to you. I want you to lead." If you're here and you're not saved, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never accepted the door and gained eternal life, you can do that this morning. What we're going to have is an invitation, and we'll invite you to come down, and we'll take the Bible and tell you exactly what we've explained in the message, and you can, for a Bible reason, know that heaven will be your home because you've accepted the door, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, as we stand to our feet, if you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved, I encourage you to step out and come. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but you know you've locked the Lord outside that door, I pray you'd step out and come. If you're here this morning and you need to join the church through believer's baptism, why don't you step out and come and let God do a work in your soul? Whatever God has asked you to do, you step out and come, as Brother Bert sings this morning.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Folks have come. If you need to come this morning, why don't you just step out and come? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and Christians are praying, if you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, you've never walked through the door, why don't you step out and walk down the aisle and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. You can come down here and we'll help you accept Him as your Savior. You can know that for sure. Step out and come if God's dealing with you, as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
we continue in prayer this morning, there's some that have come for baptism. Maybe that's you this morning. You've been saved, you've come through the door, but you've never joined the Lord's church through baptism. Why don't you come this morning? We're going to have baptism this morning. You can join in as well. If you've been saved and you know Christ as your Savior, maybe you've been baptized, but you've never joined our church, and you know you need to be in the right kind of fold. Why don't you step out and come and join us by letter this morning as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Folks are still praying this morning. Maybe you've been waiting on getting saved. You thought, I'll put it off another day, I'll put it off another Sunday. You're gripping the pew, but today is the day of salvation for you, and you know you ought to. Why don't you get it settled today? We've got time and opportunity right here to walk through the door. Brother Bert's going to give you another opportunity and sing another stanza. So why don't you step out and come as he sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Amen. All right, we have some things to share with you this morning. Why don't you be seated? And let me just say, if you needed to be saved and you just couldn't bring yourself to walk forward in the service, why don't you take time? Right after the service, we'll be down here and we'll be happy to take the Bible and show you the door. Amen. Amen. To eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ.